The next privilege we get is to hear from our four missionaries. One of the neat things is how it actually lined up on Gideon Sunday, where, you know, the Gideons, their mission is to get the Word of God into the hands of those that need it. And so I'm hoping that we'll be able to hear a little bit of what we did as Christian Assembly in doing that as well, getting the Word of God in the hands of those that most need it. And so Pam, Dove, Karen, and Jamil are going to come and share about what God did during their trip to Turkey. And I'll let them tell you about it because I've only heard. It'll only be third party if I tell you. So let's welcome them to come up and to share all that God did as they went.
Well, thank y'all. Let me say, it is really good to be home with the family of God. Pam and I were in a church in Eskişehir, Turkey, last Sunday. It was an international church, and the entire service was in Turkish, which we don't understand a lick of. And it was we had people there from South Korea and Turkey and America and Canada and Iran, and so there were believers there from all over the place. And I can just honestly tell you, there is no place like home. It was okay, but you know, it's great to be back with you. So we're going to report to you on the trip that we took. And when I say we, I'm not just talking about the four of us. We all took this trip together. You guys are amazing, and we really appreciate your support and your prayers. So the trip kind of happened in two parts, and Pam and I are going to take the lion's share of the second part since these guys had already gone, and I'm going to ask Jamil and Karen to share about our time. So we were in Istanbul, and then Pam and I drove about 3.5 hours south to another town called Eskişehir. And we'll tell you about those things. I just want to preface it with a couple of scriptures. Can you put up that Ephesians verse up there, please? Ephesians 4:3 was kind of the... there it is. The scripture tells us that we should be eager to maintain... eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. One thing that I have learned... and really learned, is that without the Holy Spirit, there's no unity. And this is a mistake that I think sometimes in churches that we make, that we forget about the Holy Spirit and we don't depend on Him enough. One of the issues, our first job was to go over, we were invited to come over and to teach about the Holy Spirit to the Turkmen people of Turkmenistan. Now, for those of you who don't know, we adopted the Turkmen people as an unreached people group back in 1997. At that time, the first known Turkmen believer in modern times came to Christ in Moscow in 1992. And by 1997, when we got involved, you could count the Turkmen believers on two hands. Today, there are over 6,000 of them. There's more than 30 church planting networks, but they are heavily persecuted. And sometimes we think that, you know, God's going to bring His church together and persecution is the instrument that He uses to do it. I'm telling you, that is a lie. It does not do that. It can often do just exactly the opposite and push peoples apart. What does bring us together is the Holy Spirit. And they were desperate for the Holy Spirit, so they invited us to come and work with them about the Holy Spirit. And that's the first part that you're going to hear. So I will turn this over to Jamil and Karen, and y'all go for it.
I'm going to go first because I'm just going to take a couple minutes. I shared last week, and so I'm just going to show you some pictures that I took and give you a visual idea of what it was like to be over there. Because you guys were there in your prayers and in your support. And the first thing that I noticed when we got there was the walls along the highway were covered with these grass mosaics. And the first three slides show that, so you can go slide past that. It was beautiful the way they had done that. You can move to the next one. Isn't that gorgeous? And then the third one. None of these slides were in order. I couldn't get them in order on the disc, so he's looking up numbers right now. Isn't that beautiful? That was, it's to show, make it look like the sea there. And then the other thing that I noticed from when I was there 2 years ago, no, that's not the right one, but this is the, but you can go ahead and put that back up. This is inside the church that we were at. It was one of the pictures of Christ raising Peter out of the water, and it looked like an original painting, and that played a part in this. The Holy Spirit used it to do some teaching, and it was a beautiful painting. And the next couple of slides are pictures of the inside of the sanctuary where we met. You can go through the next couple of slides and show them. Just give you an idea of where we were at. And the first day we were there, we had everybody sitting in a couple of rows, and then we ended up being in a large circle, and it became much more intimate. Actually, the second day we had to sit in the downstairs because they had double booked the sanctuary, which was also the Holy Spirit. Now, this is remember I told you that Polat, who was the pastor who had been interrogated by the secret police, we found out before we left. That's him holding that rubab, which is a Turkmenistan instrument, and I was able to get a little bit of a video of him playing that. So you can go ahead and play that. I don't know if you'll be able to hear the sound or not. I won't be going into videography as a profession. And then you can just start running through some of the slides. The rest of the slides, there's Pam and Dub, and there's a sunset down in the harbor. And this is the Hagia Sophia, which was a cathedral. You want to tell a little bit more? You know more about it than I do. It was a...
Yeah, it's called the Hagia Sophia. This was the center of Christendom during when it was Constantinople. And so before Rome became the center of Christendom, this was it. When the Muslims came in, they turned it into a mosque. And then later, when Turkey became secular, they turned it into a museum. Pam and I have been there several times before. I was... saddened to see that they have there were a lot of the Christian mosaics that had been there were a few that had been left undamaged and some of the other things, and I was distressed to see that even though it's a museum, we can see Turkey becoming more Islamic again. They are removing more and more of the Christianity and anything that has to do with Christianity out of the Hagia Sophia.
Some of the mosaics they just went past. This is a close-up on one of the doors. It had crosses on the doors, and they took the cross piece off just to make it look like a regular wooden door. I just wanted a close-up of that to show you what they were doing to remove the Christian artifacts from it. But those are some of the mosaics that have not been damaged yet. So you can go ahead and run through. And that, I think that's the end of the slides.
to me, like 16 people there, three or four more kids.
Okay. Hello. So, overall, when we met, there, I think we started off with 15 or 16, and then other individuals came as they heard about what we were doing. Not the additional folks. Not everybody was with what we were talking about and what we're sharing with the Holy Spirit. Obviously, for some reason, the Holy Spirit tends to divide the church, and not even the Holy Spirit, just, you know, a couple of gifts, tongues, you know, and mainly one gift divides the church, and it's tongues, and you know, and so I think when if you guys want to hear like what led, like the life that led up to like what I went through before, I'll talk to y'all about that at another time. But getting to Turkey was wonderful. Dub took me through on the train through the city. So I went from the European side to the Asian side, and I got to, you know, see the neighborhoods and see the life, and I really enjoyed that. I didn't really know what to expect. I guess I kind of expected a fight to get there, but there was peace, and it did come from the Holy Spirit. Our first meeting, there was a lot of educational points, and I think what I felt is as we got to the end, it was like, hey, we need to go ahead, and which we did, but we need to go ahead and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to meet us here. Because if the Holy Spirit doesn't meet us here, then this is all for naught. And we did that. And I had the privilege to pray in front of them and invite us all to pray together. And I say privilege because when you meet Christians that are in the fire like they are, it's very humbling. You know, even with some of the things that I have been through up until that point, I don't have the issues that they have. I don't have the fight that they have, and so I was extremely honored. I prayed for them as an elder in the church and commissioned them, and once again I was like, who am I to tell these people that in the name of the Lord you can go do this? I'm like, okay, you know, but that was where the Lord put me, and thank Dub and the Lord for giving me the confidence. I think the big thing that got me is talking about the unity of the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking when we were doing praise and worship, cast your cares on me for I care for you, because he is your peace. And the thing is, to go to a church and say we had Catholics and Methodists and Baptists and AME, and we had all these different denominations in here, and to be able to come here and seek the Holy Spirit and put aside your theology for one cause, a united church. And that's what I saw there. One of the gentlemen, we were up praising and worshiping, and one of the gentlemen came up to me and said, I'm not going to say names, but said, their church doesn't believe in clapping or dancing. And I was thinking, what grace? What grace does he have to come in here where everybody's clapping and waving their hands, and he's not going to get hung up that people are clapping and raising their hands? I said, you know what? After this service, I'm going to say, thank you very much. I appreciate your grace. But then when I looked up, he was clapping his hands. So I was like, there was no need for me to say anything, because the Holy Spirit brought down some of those things, some of that theology that we put ahead of the love of Christ. But the Lord said, you know, when they asked him, what are the two greatest commandments? He said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The two greatest commandments, that's what he said. Above all your theology, those were the two things. When you cast your cares on him and you come into the house of the Lord, this is the other thing, and you come into the house of the Lord and you seek his face and not his hand, there is a change that will happen in the body of God. When you seek his face and you say, well, you know what, I really need a car. And you do need a car. I need to feed my family. You do need to feed your family. I need a job. You do need a job. But when you come into the house of the Lord and you seek his face, those things will come. But you seek God And he will give you something greater. He will give you his peace. He will give you his joy. He'll give you the opportunity. He'll give you courage. And when you step out that door and things start to come, and this is not a prosperity thing. This is not a prosperity thing. But when things start to come, you're like, oh my gosh, I wasn't even thinking about the car or feeding my family. But here's food on my table. Here's the car. And oh yeah, praise the Lord, I get to share Jesus Christ with everybody I get to talk to because he provides an opportunity. I get to glorify God. Let me digress. So that's, I would encourage you. And I think I'm going to get off the Facebook with encouragement and start encouraging people face to face. To encourage you to put aside your theology. If someone speaks in tongues, don't be offended. You know, if someone heals somebody, please don't be offended. If someone has a word of knowledge, don't be offended. Don't be offended. Let's build the kingdom of God. Let's build the kingdom of God. Lastly, what was I going to say? It was really cool. Gosh. You know what? Maybe it was just for later. You sure? I don't want to give that. Thank you.
Grab it out of my hand. No, don't go back. Yeah, just okay. Take my seat. As soon as you remember, come on up. I had my phone. That verse from Ephesians, I don't know how many of you were at the National Day of Prayer, but that was the key verse at the National Day of Prayer this year. And it was an awesome meeting. All sorts of people there from all over Durham, all people from all these different churches. But I think we're really starting to see some unity of the Holy Spirit, that we major on the important thing, which is Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the witness of Jesus Christ. So it was amazing. Jamil, on that first day, he was so awesome because they came so hungry and so ready for the Holy Spirit. We were kind of worried because we'd all been praying that if the Holy Spirit didn't show up, you know, we wasted a lot of money. But they were so ready and so open. And as we said, that first afternoon, Jamil just led people in just crying out to the Holy Spirit for him to come and unify us and speak to us. And we did a lot of teaching on all the gifts, and they just, you could just tell it was just water for their soul. I mean, they just soaked it up. Karen probably told you this, we spoke, of course, English. Most of them understood Russian, so it was being translated into Russian. And then there were some Uzbeks there, and it was being translated into Uzbek also. Although most of them also spoke Turkmen, but Russian was the one common language. So, and we would worship, you know, and some people were singing in Turkmen, and some people were singing in Russian, and some people were singing in Uzbek, and we had an amazing time. We really did. Hey, did you remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good.
So the other thing is like when you're praying for people and two of those people are prophets, it even though you don't have a prophetic gift, I never, you know, it spills over. So Karen and Doug were prophesying over people. And maybe mine was more of a word of knowledge than anything, but it was also on me. And it was really amazing because I would have something on my heart and I would just, you know, hey, Lord, I trust you. I'm going to just say it. And then they had the same thing. It was amazing how the Lord like stitched this stuff together. Or seeing Karen and Doug work together, tag team on folks. And they would say one thing, and Karen would have half of it, and Dub would have the other half, and vice versa. I mean, it was, so ultimately what I learned is the Lord, the Holy Spirit has all these gifts, and he's probably given you a few that you're aware of, but don't shut yourself off, because sometimes he's going to have you do something, step outside of your comfort zone, and have you speak into somebody's life or have you serve somebody or do something, have another gift at that moment. And don't say, Lord, that's not my gift. No, don't do that. Don't shut him off, you know, because he's going to bless somebody and you if you're willing to accept those other gifts.
Anybody else? Okay, so before I shift to the other part of the trip, let me just, there's a couple other details I probably need to give you, but before I do that, speaking of prophecy, while we were worshiping this morning, the Lord told me that somebody has a bad hip joint and has been having a lot of trouble with it, and the Lord wants to touch you and heal you this morning. Who is that? Raise your hand. Oh, we got two, the twins, okay. Would you guys that are around them, would you lay your hands on them, please? And we're going to pray for them because the Lord wants to touch you and heal you this morning. Father God, we thank you and your great love that you reveal this. And Lord, we pray for both Jan and Frank, Lord God, for these problems that they're having with their hips. Lord, you know what's going on in there. You know what's going on in those joints. We ask you right now through the laying on of our hands and the joining of our faith together that you hear our prayers, that you come, Holy Spirit, and that you heal them. In the name of the Lord Jesus, who is the great physician, we pray that you will heal these hip joints now. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Okay, so now you've just been to Turkey, and now you know kind of what was going on. So there were 16. We ended up with about 20 sometimes there. As we told you, they were from all across Turkmenistan, every part of the nation. Murad and Kamush are kind of the common thread there. The Lord showed me that. That Murad is actually the elder of the church in Turkmenistan now. I really believe that. He has this. He's one of the most humble men I've ever met. But there's just this authority that he carries, and people trust him. And so we had Baptists and Pentecostals and Charismatics, which is about all there is. They're in the meeting, and so people were coming from different places, but. It was amazing to see how the Lord brought us together and the unity in that place. The only time they had any real serious discussion is when we talked about the gift of tongues. I taught on it, and then they started talking among themselves, and we just kind of sat back as they chatted in Turkmen and Russian and Uzbek and whatever. They chatted among themselves for a few minutes, and then it ended, and they were good. And so we all got together, we held hands, we praised God, and it was unbelievable. There's been so much strife and friction between the churches there, and to see the Holy Spirit do this was amazing. So now we've got 16 people from all these different churches who are going back into their country full of the Holy Spirit, full of the grace of God, understanding, you know, what the Holy Spirit does to bring unity to the church. And it was remarkable. I wish we could tell you a whole lot more. We didn't take pictures. We try to follow their lead, and they were not taking pictures, and so we didn't want to do that either because we can get them in trouble if they get into the wrong place. But we've been working on this since 1997, and guys, what God has done in all that time is absolutely remarkable. You know, they didn't have the Old Testament when we started. We helped deliver the Old Testament to them. They rewrote the New Testament, married those together. Now they have the scriptures. They all had it on their phones. They don't have a Bible. None of them can carry a Bible, really. As a matter of fact, Polat, the guy who was there that we had prayed for, he had had his personal Bible taken by the secret police when they took him in. And so nobody had a Bible. And what they generally do is they come to these things and they sit in rows, you know, and the Westerners come in and teach them. The fact is, a lot of these people have been Christians now for almost, you know, for 10, 15, some almost 20 years. They're not children, and they're our brothers and sisters, and that's the way that we approach them, not as, we're the experts, and you know, but as we're going to experience God together here in this place. And they responded. And Jamil, as I said, broke that open that first day. And so the whole thing became really interactive. We taught on all the gifts, and then on the last day, they were desperate. They wanted us to pray over all of them, you know, and we had been praying over some of them. They wanted us to pray over all of them, prophesy when we could. And so we finished all that, and I said, okay, now here's what we're going to do. You're going to pray over us. We'll come up, and we'll be the guinea pigs, but you guys know your gifts now. You know what they are. We expect you to use your gifts. You know, and so y'all are going to pray over us. And they were like, because that never happened to them before. Nobody ever asked them to minister that way. But they're ministering in their own country. They're ministering to their people there. And that was quite remarkable. And then after that, we prayed. And we ended up going way into the evening because the Lord was really moving. Precious brothers and sisters, and they begged us to come back, and they definitely wanted us to thank this church for your support for all these years, for all the prayers, and for sending a team over to do this. And so they're like, please come do some more of this, because it's different than anything they've ever had, this kind of interaction. So I'm expecting to see the Lord do great things in Turkmenistan. That's part one. Part two. Well, but before we do that, I want to show you one picture. I do have a picture of somebody. Yeah. Back in 2009, we started doing microfinance here to help people in Turkmenistan, because when you're a Christian there, you can't have a job in public. This guy's name is Karen. It's spelled just like Karen. And some of you helped fund his project. We gave him $650 for a new camera so that he could have a photo business. He's over by the Black Sea. And that was the camera that he bought in about 2009, 2010. He led worship when we were there. He was one of our worship leaders. He was 18, 19 years old there. And God has really done a miracle in his life. Some of y'all will remember Anna, who was here. She's Turkmen. She was here for about a month, 13 years ago. Her husband, Vadim, was one of our translators. It's so neat to see the way God weaves all this together. Oh, and the lady, Maral, who cooked our food for us, made the hotel arrangements and all that. She's Kamusha's sister. We also funded one of her microfinance projects. So we have a long history going back here. And God is doing amazing things. The church is under tremendous persecution. Please keep praying for them. The church is not growing the way that it was because of this persecution that's come against them, but it's remained steady. And they are doing the work of the evangelists, all of them. And there's a lot more believers there that are just, they're afraid to, you know, to come to any kind of meeting or associate because they don't want to get swept up. I'm telling you, God's about to change things in Turkmenistan. We're going to see a big turnaround. And I believe the church is positioned to explode in there once the government changes a little bit. So y'all keep praying for them. Second part of the trip, Turkmen number two. I did want to read you this before I go on. This is from Kamush. I just want to read a little bit of this. Dearest Dub, Pam, Karen, and Jamil, we are so thankful to God for you all, for your ministry to us and our people. We are thankful that all the questions which we think and we're interested in were answered and opened up. Thank you for your prayers and prophecy. We think each of us treasure it and keep it in our hearts. It changed a lot in our hearts. God touched each of our hearts with love and opened up what he is thinking of us and what he's expecting from us. We wanted this meeting, we longed for it, and we are all very happy that it happened. Many people came to us and thanked us that we invited them, and it changed their way of thinking about the gifts and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for that. You really are God's chosen people and anointed to this ministry. How long we have waited for that meeting, and it passed like in a dream. We're looking forward for one another, and we'll pray for that. We are holding you and will not let you go. May the Lord bless all of you and keep you under his wings. We love you, Murad and Kamush. Yeah. Huh? About Murad, yeah. So Murad is got to be better. He's getting around. Just on the surface seems, you know, pretty normal, but his energy's low. You can tell that his blood flow is not great. His hands are kind of purple and they're cold to the touch. He breaks into sweats, you know, for no good reason, and sometimes has difficulty breathing, you know, catching his breath. So keep praying for him. There's still work that needs to be done there by the Lord. Thanks for asking. So part two, when Jamil and when Jamil and Karen left, I told them it was like we lost two of our appendages or some of our limbs. It was the Holy Spirit knit us together in such a neat way. As they said, we didn't have time to prepare. It just didn't work out that way, and that's the way the Lord wanted it. So every day we were depending on the Lord to show us and tell us what to do, and boy, did he. And so they left, and Pam and I are like, but wait, my arm and my leg left. What am I supposed to? So we met Johnny Hayes, and you can go ahead if you could put up that the other one and just let that run. So this is where we went to. This is a place called Eskishir, and it's about 3.5 hours south of Istanbul. It's down sort of in the middle of the country. And over on the right, you can see some high-rise buildings. Pam said it reminded her a lot of the West Bank. If you've seen that, you know. And out here somewhere in all these, there's some slum kind of area, and that's where we were located. So there's a bunch of other pictures. They're just going to roll in the background. Again, we didn't take pictures of the people, but this is Johnny, the tall white guy, and this is one of the Syrian Turkmen over on his side. Just we didn't meet this guy. This is just some pictures that Johnny is taking, because I said we couldn't really take any. That is a little boy. That's what their boys look like. They let their hair grow like that. And I was like, is that a girl? No, that's a boy. Pretty people. This is one of the brothers that I met. He's a Christian. He's one of 4 Christians that I met. Yeah, three, maybe four Christians that I met. And this is an older gentleman. He also is a Christian, I think. He converted. It's funny. Their religion is called Alawite, which is a real hodgepodge of a bunch of different religions. And it's got some Christianity in there, but it didn't really stand for anything. And so he was first converted to Mormonism. Then he was converted to Jehovah's Witness. And then he converted to Christian. So, praise God. So,
it's funny. That's one thing that didn't come up in our meetings with the Turkmen. Two of the people gave their testimony, and they had started out as Jehovah Witnesses. And as they were learning about the Jehovah's Witnesses, they would go, wait a minute, this doesn't line up with the Scripture, and became believers because of that. So that was three.
Yes, a great reason for the Bible. And as you know, this was one of the main reasons that we went. We wanted to work with Johnny, and we wanted to meet some of these Levantine Turkmen, the Middle Eastern Turkmen. These are all, the folks that we were with are all refugees from Syria. They've been, you know, run out, bombed out of their country. They lived in tents for a long time. They've now started moving up into, I wouldn't call it a house, but into some places, and the guys can work as day laborers if they're able-bodied for about $10 a day, and most of the families have at least 5 or 6 people in the family, and so they're trying to support their families on $10 a day, 5 days a week, so $50 a week for a family of 6. It's a little difficult. There's out of the whole tribe, there's probably 2 million people that are Middle Eastern Turkmen. Out of that whole bunch, there's about 20 believers in the whole thing. So we took the Bibles over that Johnny and his team had translated. We met the two translators. Their names are Fatty and George. F-A-T-I-H, but he pronounces it Fatty. Fatty and George. And they helped Johnny do the translation. We had the first printed version of the New Testament ever in their language. And let me tell you, that was astounding. They would, here, you can demonstrate. They would take the book, yep, and they would do that. They would kiss it, hold it to their head, kiss it again. They hold the Word of God so dear, and only the men can read. The women are uneducated. The children right now are not being schooled. Johnny's homeschooling a couple of them, but he can't homeschool them all. Yeah, there are no women believers. When I say there are 20 believers, none of those are women. Even George and Fatty, they're trying to convert their wives now. And they're not having much luck. They were asking us for advice and praying. And we were telling them, it's not what you say to them. It's how you live your lives. When your life is changed by Jesus, that's what's going to draw your wives to him. So be praying. And I want to ask you to be praying for Johnny. Johnny feels very alone. He's depressed right now. He's the only worker working with this entire group of people. 2 million people spread out across, what, 7-8 countries? I mean, they're all the way from Egypt all the way over to, they actually go into Iran. But it's a real burden on him, and he feels very alone. We were the first Westerners that have ever gone into their homes and spent time with the people. He's had a couple people come to visit, but they don't want to go actually spend time with the Syrian Turkmen or with the Levantine Turkmen. So he needs some help. If anybody wants a real pioneer mission field, and I mean pioneer, talk to me. We can work something out. He needs a helper. He also needs a believing wife. This is going to be very difficult. Because honestly, she needs to be Turkmen. No Westerner in her right mind would ever go into this situation. He would prefer to marry a Turkmen. The problem is that the available girls are 13, 14, and 15 years old. And he keeps having Turkmen families offer their 13 and 14 and 15-year-olds to him. He's 32, I think. And he's like, no, we're not doing that. So his only options are someone who's widowed or someone whose husband has abandoned them. And there's been two or three of those, but none of them have shown any interest in the gospel whatsoever. But he can't talk to the women. So, only in the family groups. If the family group is there, you can talk to them. But you can't, you know. And any time we would go in. Well, you want to tell about the first night? We got to do this quick. We're running out of time.
Okay. So we drove into the neighborhood with the rented car that we had, which caused huge commotion because it's a car. It's a car. And, you know, that you. fire, and we were sitting on like a plastic braided rug, and the floor was just, you know, bare boards without any finish on it. But they were so happy to receive us. I mean, it was really amazing. But I'd never seen poverty like that. I've been to a lot of places, but they live in very difficult situation.
But so they take the word of God very seriously, and so everywhere we went, that's what we did. Was we would give our testimony or tell a story about something that they could relate to, and then we would talk about the word of God, and they just soaked it up. Anytime it was read to them, Johnny's the two guys that he's homeschooling, they're like 11 and 13, we think, because there's no birth certificates or anything, but they have memorized entire chapters of Scripture. And so he'll just say, hey, you know, say John chapter 1 for them, and they'll start talking. Everybody in the room gets quiet. It's amazing. There are five religious leaders where Johnny is, these Alawite religious leaders. Three of them are for Johnny. The other two are not. When that first night, that meeting, when we finished praying at the end, there was an extra guy in the room that had not been there before. And it wasn't easy to sneak in, so I don't know where he came from. But Johnny said, we got to get out of here. And I was like, okay. So we left. I said, what was that all about? And he said, that's one of the guys that resists me. That's his son. So the word had gotten around that we were there, and he came to spy out. The next day, I went into some other houses. Pam stayed at the hotel, and Johnny and I were with three brothers. We had been talking to them. One of them was Christian out of the three. And we were just about done, and all of a sudden, seven men showed up. Now, these are tough men. These are guys that have been through war. I mean, you know. And so these seven men walk in the room, and I'm like, that's interesting. They were uninvited and, you know, didn't know what they were. They weren't particularly friendly. And so they all came and sat down in a circle with us and just stared at us. I said to Johnny, is it okay if I talk? And he said, yeah, if you want to, go ahead. I'll translate for you. So Johnny was tired. Because he knew who they were, and he knew what they were there for. I didn't know this till later. So I just shared my testimony. I shared my dad's testimony. I talked about how Jesus appeared to my dad, because I know that's happening with Muslims, and they can relate to that. And in the Middle East, and then I shared from the Scripture a lot. And at the end of it, there were two older men in the room. The one that was sitting next to me, there was a pause, and he said, "You know, I can tell that you are a true man of God. I can see it in your eyes, and I can hear it in your voice. And we receive what you have said." When he did that, this other guy that was over in the corner jumps down into the Muslim prayer position on all fours, puts his head to the carpet, and starts, you know, going on. And I can't understand what he's saying. And Johnny's like, I'm not going to translate all this. Basically, he's saying, you're some kind of prophet and man of God and whatever. And I was like, okay. And then the mood kind of lightened up, and we talked. Well, that was the religious leader. He had come with six other guys, and he was going to try to shut this down. But when he's got nothing, he doesn't know the Quran. He doesn't know any scriptures. When we started quoting the scriptures to him, it shut the whole thing down and turned it around. So pray for Johnny. Pray for these folks. They're the very few Christians that they have. They are very bold about their faith, but it's not easy. And pray for the distribution of the scriptures. The next thing we got to do is get hard copies of the Bible, because they value those a lot. And so we got to get hard copies of the Bible and get it back over there. But anyway, that's the long and short of it. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that we could tell. Thank you so much for sending us on this trip and for praying us through this. God is doing so much for the Turkmen people. It's unbelievable. Wayne. So Johnny's the medic for the tribe. They have no access to medical care. And while I was there, Johnny pulled one kid's tooth, and he excised. Yeah, Yeah, and he excised a tumor off of one guy's foot, and I served as his assistant in that little procedure. And he does that kind of stuff. He performs all sorts of medical stuff. He taught himself using YouTube. So, yeah. He's something else. Okay, any other questions or before we? Yeah. It is astounding. Everybody needs the Word of God. Everybody needs the Word of God.
Amen. I want to encourage you. First, I want to remind you, it's Gideon Sunday. Please, if the Lord has put anything on your heart to give to the Gideons, as we saw the power of the Word of God from this little church go all the way to Turkey, and just minister to those people, and then to be able to bring them New Testaments to give to them so that they had it in their language. How awesome is that? And that's what the Gideons are doing. So please, if God put something on your heart, please give to them. Like I said, put Gideon on the memo line or put it in the little envelope that's in the bulletins that you have. But I want to encourage you with a verse, because I think that, and this ties into what Jamil was saying when he was sharing. This is Psalm 34, starting in verse 8. It says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions will suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." For those who fear him have no lack. You may be here this morning and you have lack of something. You need, just as Jamil said. But if you have lack, seek the Lord and lack no good thing. So when you go out this week and you experience a shortcoming in what you need, seek him first and he will provide. It may not be how you think it should be or what you think it should look like, but he will provide and he will give you more than what you actually need and more than you think that you need. So I want to encourage you as you go out. If you need prayer for anything, I want you to come up. Do you have another song that we can go out with? No? Okay. They'll play a little bit of something. But if you have anything that you need prayer for, please come up and get prayer before you go. Don't leave here thinking that if you want God to meet you, don't leave here if he hasn't met you yet. Amen? Let's go out and bless the Lord.